In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was looking at this passage from the book of Acts, this question came to me, which I, of course, knew the answer to immediately. And I thought, well, maybe I should ask you all the question. Have you ever felt like an outsider? You've been in a situation where you feel like you know everything that's going on there and you have all the knowledge of the other people, but the other people just don't really fully accept you. You know what I mean? Maybe it sounds too familiar for this crowd. But there's a reality in that. In the book of Acts, we're hearing about an encounter between Peter and Cornelius. Sometimes I think it helps. Well, it always helps. Let me rephrase that. It always helps if you know the whole story. Amen? So if we just back up to chapter 10, verse 1, it says this about Cornelius. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort. So that tells us he's an officer of some sort, right, in the Roman army. He's a centurion because he has how many men? 100. Okay, so this is the important part. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. Well, the one thing that Cornelius wasn't was Jewish. He was a believer in this one true God. He was what would be referred to now, I don't know if they referred to him that way then, as a God-fearer. He was one who believed in the one true God. He is one who sought out being in the presence of God through prayer. He undoubtedly came somewhere near the synagogue in some fashion, yet he was not a convert to Judaism. And we have to wonder to ourselves, well, why not? And maybe he just didn't feel as though he was one of the covenant people, so to speak. Or maybe he just felt like an outsider to some degree. But something changed, didn't it? See, the wonderful thing about this season of Epiphany, it is a reminder to us that through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we have been adopted in as children of God. Amen? We're grafted in to that vine, the source of all things, the creator of the world, the one true God, is now accessible to us. That wasn't true in Cornelius' time until this moment. In his prayers to God, he saw an angel of God who told him to send for Simon Peter, who was staying with a tanner. And at the same time, Peter was having a vision of things, animals coming down on the blanket. You may have heard the story. And he's saying, in the vision, he's being told to eat. And he says, no, Lord, no, I would never eat anything unclean. That's a paraphrase, so don't quote me on it. And God says to him, don't declare anything unclean that I've declared clean. And they arrive for Peter. And we come in our part of the story today when Peter is now speaking to Cornelius and his household. And he says some really important things that undoubtedly carried a great deal of weight for Cornelius and his household. Then Peter began to speak to them, I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. That was shocking news for Cornelius. It was shocking news. Up until that time, he was the uncircumcised, unclean God-fearer. But now, through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, he is a child of God. And Peter goes on. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel. preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that message spread throughout Judea. And Peter goes on to talk about all the things that Jesus did, the healing, the casting out demons, the love and the care of God's people, his crucifixion on a tree, which spoke directly to what the prophets had said and Cornelius would have known. He presented Jesus to him as the Messiah, and then he spoke of this crucifixion and his resurrection, which clarifies that this Jesus is the one that the prophets spoke of. And Cornelius is amazed, and all of his household is amazed, and quite frankly, we should be too. But the thing he said in the midst of that, Jesus preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that's the message that spread. We can complicate this message in many ways. We have now the Nicene Creed. People lost their lives over it a few centuries back, well, several centuries back, six-ish. The concept being we needed this statement of faith that we could all agree on, right? And then yet we don't. In the first century, the first creed was really simple, and Peter leans towards it in what he's saying. And the simple creed of the first century church was this: Jesus is Lord. Did you know that? That's all they said. I could preach longer if we just did that, because I got to leave room for the whole Nicene Creed. I could just get up afterwards and say, Jesus is Lord. What a very simple statement, yet a very complicated thing. Well, let's say it. Jesus is Lord. What, see how easy that was to say? Now go live it. Oh. So, what's the first question we have to ask ourselves? Jesus is Lord of what? Well, he's Lord of everything. Okay, that sounds really good when I'm looking at your life. Jesus should be Lord of your life, every piece of it, amen? And then I have to look in the mirror and say, Jesus is, oh, wait a minute, everything? Everything. That's a little harder, isn't it? So easy to say, and so easy to back away from all at the same time. Jesus is Lord. That message spread throughout Judea. What a wonderful message to have spreading around, wouldn't you say? The one true God, the healer, the sanctifier, the creator of all things, through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the incarnate God, has made it possible for all of us to proclaim, Jesus is Lord. But that's never enough for God, is it? It just never seems to be enough. So Peter, carrying on the fullness of the message, he says, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. This is more shocking news, brothers and sisters, for Cornelius, and maybe for you too. If you're sitting here wondering why is that shocking news, well, let me tell you. Jesus is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. We're not. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is judge of all. The church and the invitation to come to know Christ is for all. Oh. But what if they don't look like me? All. What if they don't live like me? All. What if I don't like them? All. What if they don't like me? Yeah, and call the bishop. but it's for all. This is great news, because prior to this, the only people, the chosen people, were the Jewish people. God's plan was always to get to all, and now we're here. When I was in my process for ordination, honestly, it reached a place where I felt more like I was being hazed than formed. You ever been in a process like that? It's like, oh, you want to get in where we are? Well, then you have to do all these things first. I was to my last meeting before the bishop was going to discern whether or not I would be a postulant ready for seminary. And they couldn't set the meeting. It's with the standing committee, by the way. They couldn't find people on the standing committee that didn't know who I was. And for some reason, that seemed to be a problem for them. I thought, well, I'm not sure why that matters. I think it'd be better if they knew who I was. Actually, if you had asked me, I'd said, probably better if they don't know who I am. But so they found the two people on the standing committee. And I went to an event. I was meeting with them like on a Monday. And on Saturday, there was a diocesan event that I was at. And I met this wonderful priest, and we got to talking. And guess what? I had a meeting with him the following week. So now the two people they found, only one of them had never met me before. And we get there, and we're talking back and forth. And the one priest finally looks at me and goes, I guess you probably figured out by now that a big part of discerning your call to ordination is being able to find your way through this process. It's a little like hazing. And if you want to get into a really weird conversation, get a bunch of priests together who have been through this process and ask them how the next person should do it. Well, in my day, you had to do this. When I was in the process, it looked like this, right? We decide what it should look like. Brothers and sisters, that's not just true in the process of ordination. It sometimes becomes true in our very own community. When that new person is good enough and meets our criteria, then we will allow them fully into the community. I know the church has never done that. Not here. I've just seen it other places. But does it sound a little true? They got to make sure they make the cut. I think Cornelius kind of felt that way. I'll speak for him. He probably won't have much to say about it. Because he never converted. He was a God-fearer, always on the outside. I suspect our church today, Holy Innocence, the church whole, has some folks that know they belong here and know that they're children of God, but they still feel like an outsider. And then there's people who are actually outside the building who I guarantee you feel like outsiders. We began a new ministry yesterday. Many of you were present for it, and many of you are aware of it. Our mobile feeding ministry, how many people were there? How many people are aware that it exists now? Excellent. Here's the beauty of yesterday for me. The most beautiful thing was to come back here and listen to the folks who were able to stay and talk about what had happened and hear them share how the people that came to eat, who they sat with and spoke with, felt like they belonged. Can you imagine being an outcast in society? Someone that many people don't even see, and some who even expressed, people don't see us. People don't talk to us. People don't treat us with respect because of the situation they're in. which may or may not be in their control, and they feel judged. So by God's grace, and to the glory of God, those who came to eat yesterday expressed that they felt loved and respected and seen. They were not outsiders yesterday. Amen? It's really that simple. Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what we all need? One simple thing can make that happen for all of God's children in all of His creation. When those who seek Him and follow Him hear what Peter is saying, preach to the people and testify that He is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. Not you, Him. All the prophets testify about Him that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. And if you can't remember all this, brothers and sisters, remember one thing. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of all, for all. Amen.